A young man had finished his first semester in college and was spending the weekend at home. Somewhat bored with the old place, he was regaling his father with the wonders of his campus and the enlightened people there. After getting up a head of steam and warming up to his subject, he said, "Why, Dad, in our chemistry lab at college, we have made an acid that will dissolve any known substance." The father turned and looked at him and slowly said, "That's mighty fine. What do they keep it in, son?" Doesn't that just seem so expected? You send a precious child off to higher education and they come back with less sense than they had before they left. Seems that the more they learn, the less they know. And we're seeing just that more and more in our current day. Why doesn't it seem that the very finest, most prestigious, respected, and hallowed halls of learning in this country are now turning out the stupidest, immature, reasonless, believe in anything but the truth, talking heads in history? Seems that if these young people learn anything at all, it's all about how to babble on, yada, 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 to make it seem like they know something when actually they don't know anything at all, least of all about what they're supposedly talking about. Need examples? What about the people currently masquerading as the president and vice president? Biden at least has the excuse of being a geriatric, suffering dementia, and quite possibly being near the end of his natural life as his body looks increasingly frail with each passing day. A better example is of the much younger comparative spring chicken at just 59 who acts at being the vice president. She was a lawyer, district attorney of San Francisco, attorney general of California, finally becoming a senator. Senators, lawyers, high-ranking civil servants are supposed to be at least somewhat intelligent. How else do they pass their bar exams and become lawyers? But Mrs. Harris has become famous for her word salads. Her speeches and answers to questions, while exceedingly verbose, actually express little to nothing. She can rattle on and on, putting one word after another in long-winded continuity, but without saying anything truly meaningful or that could result in a position or promise that could be nailed down. It's a lot of hot air that literally kills much time and a sensible person's patience. One European journalist, a fellow female, by the way, once commented that it would be a sad day indeed if Harris ever became president. And she said this while our alleged president has become so confused, forgetful, and incoherent that he has become the butt of jokes, television comedy sketches, and mocking the world over. Ignoring the horrible condition of our country for a moment, focusing in on these, our two highest officials, we can ask, why are these two, arguably the two most powerful people on earth, seeming imbeciles? But it's not just them. This affliction has spread to much of our population, even around the world. The vast majority of people do not realize that not only are they not autonomous beings, they are totally dependent upon the Creator for literally everything that keeps them alive. The only people who truly realize this are the genuine followers of Christ Jesus, the Lord, their Savior. He is the Savior of us and all the world. But save us from what? We here know that he saves us from hell, an eternity in hell, separated forever from God. Human beings, through no fault of their Creator, but entirely of their own devices, broke their symbiotic marriage-like relationship with God. Adam and Eve, the very first humans, at the instigation of the devil, willingly, knowing full well what they were doing, disobeyed a simple, direct command of God and ate the forbidden fruit. This amounted to a divorce. They threw off the covenant bonds which kept them in a beautiful, perfect fellowship with the Lord for the promise of some ambiguous, greater knowledge. Some knowledge it was they acquired, which rendered them stupid and pitiful, something they had never experienced before. Without realizing the consequences of their crime, they exchanged the bliss of knowing God, all that is true, right, and beautiful, for the knowledge of the world's ways, which had simultaneously become utterly corrupted by their sin, which opened the door and invited in all manner of depravity, decay, and corruption, which the devil eagerly shoveled out all over the world. The pristine, cleansed, purified earth was suddenly plunged into rebellion, the darkness of sin, cut off from the pure glory of Creator God, which had maintained its perfect, immaculate purity from its reformation in Genesis 1-2. From then on, the world developed its own culture apart from the righteousness and glory of its Creator. From then on, there have been God's ways and the world's ways. The world's ways are rooted in sin, in rebellion, in lawlessness, in godlessness, in a word, in evil. Despite the residual beauty and righteous virtue that still persists in all of creation, our world and all its ways are tainted with evil. Some so darkened they become indistinguishable from hell itself. Examples of this are all around us, but the most blatant, brazen, flagrant, and glaring the world just witnessed on October 7th, 2023 in southern Israel. Pure, unadulterated evil was on full display and recorded for posterity on cell phones. Baking babies in ovens until they were burnt to a crisp. Sexual atrocities beyond imagining. Nothing else can describe the horrors except the unleashing of pure evil. Yet, after a week or two of fairly widespread condemnation, suddenly nearly all the world developed amnesia. The world has reverted to its natural state of outright rebellion against God and his ways, his word, and his people. Because the devil is temporarily in charge down here. Actually, not anymore, but he was from when Adam lost dominion over earth on that fateful day in Eden. When the Lord gave up his life on the cross, the devil's domination on earth was broken and legally terminated. It's been up to the church, the Savior's followers, to enforce the Supreme Court of Heaven's judgment. The devil's run on earth has gone on too long. His time is running out because the same Jesus Christ is coming back to restore all things soon. So, in the short time he has left, the devil is pulling out all the stops. We see it in the insanity of many institutions, universities, schools, businesses, even formerly Christian denominations, now apostate, even Pope Francis himself. And, of course, in government. Our top two governmental leaders, illegitimate though they are so manipulated by evil that they were unaware that they can't even talk straight, let alone make sense. Many educators and medical doctors believe gender is nothing more than a state of mind to which our physical bodies must be mutilated to match what our emotions feel. But since humans are not autonomous beings, we're all too easily swayed to all manner of insane, evil fixations. Like shrieking hyenas, the demons which attach themselves to unprotected children and adults laugh hysterically as they cause untold pain and misery on our fellow human beings. Mangling our language, people call the gruesome, cruel dismembering of preborn babies by the hundreds of millions the number one cause of death in the world for decades running. They call it reproductive health care. God's people know better, so do not go along with it. Do not use their language, their terminology, for their words, the world's words, are nothing but lies from the father of lies. Call cold-blooded, premeditated killing for what it is: murder in the first degree. Lawlessness, BLM racism, the list goes on. Government has been compromised by power-hungry, money-craving, self-serving politicians who wouldn't recognize a real civil servant of the people if they ran into one. There truly is no hope for America. We're far too gone, way past time to save the world as it hurtles toward hell in fair trade hand baskets. Nothing humanly possible can save us now or ever could. But we're not autonomous beings. We who know Jesus the Lord remember that the only God told us in Zechariah 4:6, that it is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit. Indeed, today's lesson from 1 Corinthians 1 tells us so. From the world's view, there is no hope. But from God's perspective, from eyes of faith, the words here are such a comfort. Just verses 24 and 25 assure us, for those who have been chosen to follow the crucified Messiah, both Jews and Greeks or Gentiles, he is God's mighty power, God's true wisdom, and our Messiah. For the foolish things of God have proven to be wiser than human wisdom, and the feeble things of God have proven to be far more powerful than any human ability. So we know we've absolutely nothing to fear. All we need do is get with God's program. He's had it all planned out from before the beginning of time. Father God knows all the enemy's moves before even the devil does. Don't get distracted by how horrible some situations become, like on October 7th. Keep faith, pray, and watch and see how Holy Spirit moves all around us. God is working his glorious purpose out. No question about it. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done for us, for giving us eyes of faith, ears to hear, and minds that can understand. Thank you that the hope, the certain hope that is sure to come, that you have implanted within us, will surely come to pass and quickly. Help us while we deal with the difficulties of life in our own lives and in the lives of our loved ones. Help us and keep us remembering that you are always with us through anything and everything. Make us lights to this world in Jesus' name. And for your sake, amen.